Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, if you're like me and you have a dog that doesn't really love the vet, you're going to find this video enlightening, funny, and maybe even learn something. My name's Tom. I'm a dog trainer. I've been doing it for over a decade. This is my second channel, as well as my No Bad Dogs podcast. And I have a Boer Bull. He's 150-pound South African Mastiff. I'll put him up right here. You guys can see the beast. And I was bringing him to the vet, and you know, and I don't know if the vets just don't trust their clients. I'm sure it's a safety protocol. I don't know what you guys think. I'd love to know in the comments. Like, when you go in with your dog and the dog has to be touched by the veterinarian or the vet tech, right? So the usual process is the vet tech comes in and then they go through, you know, oh, let's do weight, let's do, you know, whatever, you know, whatever they do, right? Take information down for the doctor. The doctor comes in and he is dealing with skin issues. He has been for over a year. We think it's allergies. We're trying to figure out what it is. Love to have any insight. Comments below. Help the community out. Help me out in figuring out what the heck's going on with this dude. But we go in and, you know, and I don't know, like, again, I don't know if it's like a veterinarian practice where they're like, the owner of the dog certainly and cannot be involved with handling their own dog in which they know. And again, I'm sure it's playing devil's advocate. I'm sure that it's a safety thing. Like if they need to do a skin scrape or a shot or vaccine or look at their teeth or look at their undercarriage or whatever, I'm sure it's more of a, our vet techs need to do it because they are trained and they know how to do this. But the problem is a lot of times they don't. And I had this crazy situation at my local vet, and I love veterinarians. They are so needed, obviously. And I have relatives that are veterinarians, and I have no disrespect for veterinarians. However, there is some beef I have with them about how they handle dogs. Like, we go in, right? And again, you got to picture this. My Mastiff, again, 150-pound blockhead. They don't ask if he's friendly. They don't ask if he's going to be okay with this. And again, they don't know. I don't expect people to know what I do for a living. I don't walk in places and go, just so you know, I'm a dog trainer. That's cringe. I would never do that. So I just kind of let them do their thing. But my point by saying that is regardless of if you're a professional dog trainer or not, and you handle aggressive dogs for a living, it's your dog, right? So you would think, and this is why I'm making this video, it's just like so interesting to me that you would think that the veterinarian, the vet tech would say, and I don't know, maybe they just look at him and they go, oh, well, he's not biting us yet, so he might be friendly. Or maybe, I don't know. But he is not an easy dog to read by any means. He whale eyes, he side stares, he does all of the things that if you didn't know him, that would tell you that he is uncomfortable. And if you push him past his limits, he might bite you as a huge giant dog, meaning they could cause serious damage, right? So my point is I just find it fascinating you know, that when you bring your dog to the veterinarian, that they don't even look at you and ask you, again, is your dog aggressive? Will your dog bite me? Do you think we should muzzle? And then furthermore, do you want to help? So this is how it went down. We have this little tiny exam room. I would say it's, I'm not kidding at all. I have pictures of it. If I do, I'll pop it up on Instagram. If you're watching this on Spotify, you can see it, and on YouTube. It's probably a 5-6 foot by 10 foot room, like a closet basically. And it's not their fault, right? It's just how a lot of veterinarian offices are set up. Not all of them, but a lot of them. I've been to some really nice ones. There's a local one here in Saratoga where they have an, where you come in and all the dogs that are exiting a completely different hallway and a completely different exit, which is really nice, but not all of them. So I go into this little room with my giant dog. They don't know him from Bowser. Like, they literally don't know this dog at all. They've never met him. And again, I don't know if maybe in their sheets back there, because he's been there before, oh, he's not friendly, or he won't kill you, or he won't bite you. I don't know. I don't know all these things. That's why I'm kind of throwing this out there to maybe get some insight from some veterinarians or maybe people in the community that have gone through stuff like this before, because it's just so bizarre to me. We go into this room. He's, you know, getting his treats, his No Bad Dog Nubs. Shout out to No Bad Dog Nubs. And he's having the time of his life, right? And he's just, you know, loving life. And so drooling, I'm doing some obedience with him. Vet tech comes in. I put him in a down. I put him in a stay. Vet tech, of course. Oh, and again, guys, like, if, you know, if you're a vet tech and you see that size of a dog who isn't, like, he has got a dock tail too, so he doesn't, he has a nub. He's really hard to read. And I understand if you come in and you're basically either nervous or you're trying to get some sort of information from the dog, like, hey, buddy, how are you? And he pops up and he's excited. I get all of that. It's probably the right thing to do under those circumstances. But, you know, I here's the way I thought it. Okay, let me back up. Here's how it went. So vet tech comes in, super excited, talking to him, getting him all amped up. He pops out of his down. I put him back into it. My point is like, when you're doing obedience training and when you're doing training, you got to pick your battles, right? So I'm in this office with a person that he doesn't know. I want him to have a good experience. I know him well enough that he isn't going to bite anybody or attack anybody. And so I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about his experience in the veterinarian office, because that's why a lot of vets are the bad guy with dogs. Because you bring them in, they're rushed, they're poked, they're prodded, they're stuck, and the people are going crazy. Hi, how are you? Yeah. And they're just talking to the dog. And listen, like, some dogs may love that and everything, but it's just strange to me that they don't ask any questions about this dog's behavior. And if you guys, like, have ever met a Borbal or a Rottweiler, a Mastiff in general, like, you know how big they are, how strong and powerful they are, and how kind of stoic they are, like, from a dog training standpoint. And I don't know about you guys, from like a behavioral standpoint, like, they're hard to read. They're kind of looking at you funny. They're wailing you a little bit. They're not easy dogs to read. But he, not once did he just say, hey, is it okay? Or whatever. So get back to the appointment. So he comes in, gets him all fired up. I'm like, okay, screw the obedience, because his temperament at the vet is more important to me than his obedience at this point. And it's unfair for me to say, go into a downstay and this vet tech is trying to get him to jump off the wall, right? So in my head, I'm like, okay, this is a tiny room, the size of this table, and you're firing this rhino gorilla seal up, and where's he going to go once he starts getting the zoomies and getting crazy and bucking around? Like, what's going to happen here? Like, why are we coming into an exam room that's the size of a shoebox, looking at a 150-pound Mastiff and telling him to go crazy? Like, I don't know if, like, the person was nervous, so we're wearing our anxiety and fear out of, like, oh, hey, you're not going to kill me, right, type thing. Like, I don't know, right? So this isn't me saying you shouldn't have done it necessarily. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to think of where they're coming from. Like, why would this happen? Like, why would you ever do that? And it's tough, you know, from a professional dog training standpoint. Of course, I'm going to, like, mentally and in my head critique a lot of things and be, I guess, granular about things. But anyway, gets them all fired up, doctor comes in, and that's another level of fired up, right? Hi, how are you? And they're like, we're just gonna hold him. And then they bring another person in. And I am like sitting there like, what is going? So now there's three.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
People in the room that have never met this dog, and they are trying. Here's the problem I do have. I will say this. They are trying to physically restrain this freaking dog. Like, trying to hold him down. Like, so she can get a skin scrape. And I'm like, at this point, just back up. And I know him. I know dogs well enough to know, like, these people aren't in any danger. So I'm letting this happen, right? And so I'm watching this kind of unfold. The people are physically, like, there's one behind them and there's one next to him, and there's the doctor trying to, like, get down there, and they're talking to him and all this crazy stuff. And he's just getting so stimulated and so excited. He just starts, like, it's like some sort of movie. He just starts getting up, and they're trying to hold him down and physically control this dog. And I'm like, guys, this, you know, in my head, I'm like, guys, this is insane. Like, this is actually ludicrous that you are doing this for so many reasons. Again, like, I'll say it again. I don't mean to repeat myself, but the fact that you don't ask the owner for the best route here. But maybe that's because so many dog owners are clueless with their dog, right? And I mean that in the most loving and caring way. Like, so many dog owners get a dog that doesn't require any training because of good genetics and luck. Meaning you get a dog, they never have behavioral issues, they love everybody, they don't listen to you, they only listen and sit for a treat, they probably are a little overweight, but the owners don't have any control. So maybe they're just so used to the average owner going into the vet office thinking, I, as a vet tech, am going to have way more control, understanding, and knowledge and experience than this person with this dog who doesn't look at them under any circumstances, right? And that's just the truth. I don't mean, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but that's just the truth. I mean, I have 13 years of data that shows that, right? So, and I'm not saying your dog doesn't love you and you don't love your dog. I'm just saying that 95% of dog owners out there don't have any control or engagement or great relationships with their dog. So healthy relationships, I should say, right? So I'm just sitting there kind of watching this unfold, and I'm wondering, like, at what point are they going to ask for help? Not because I'm a professional, not because he's my owner or because I'm his owner, but because they need an extra person. Like, they can't control this dog. So this happened a couple months ago, and I've been wanting to do this podcast and record this video for a while because I'd love feedback on why you think these things happen. I'd also like to say to the veterinarian industry, I texted my cousin after, who's been a vet for a very long time. She teaches at a med school, and she's like, yeah, we just don't, like, it's awful. Like, the everyday veterinarian doesn't have the skill sets to handle these situations correctly and safely. Because if at any point he started, I mean, I work with so many aggressive dogs, guys, as you may or may not know, like if he at any point decided to lash out, he'd be right here. Like literally they're on their knees right here with this dog. And by the way, his head is twice the size of theirs. Like that's how big this dog is. That's how powerful this dog is. If he wanted to turn around and have a piece of somebody's skull, he could, and he would. Like he easily would be able to do that because they're not protecting themselves. They're not putting themselves into, but more importantly, they're not even asking the person who owns the dog if this is going to be okay. Like that blew my mind, you know, and it didn't take until after I left, after like I was because I was laughing the majority of the time. But then when I left, I was like, whoa, that was really bad. Like that could have been very dangerous. And the veterinarians and the vet techs, God bless them, probably just don't know any better. They don't know any better. Like they go in and their MO is to get the dog so excited to make sure that they are lovely and the energy is up here and the excitement is up here. But then you're just trying to like hurry up and wait. Let's get this dog up here. And then, okay, now we need you to sit still in a very short period of time. Because veterinarians, they're basically like, they don't have time. Like that's like the biggest thing about the class from my podcast with other veterinarians and classical veterinarians. They don't like these days, they are timed. They're like, they only have 15 minutes with a patient, right? They're in, they're out, boom, and you're gone. You spend more time with the vet tech. And so my point is like, I don't know if when they come in, they're just saying like, I need you to not eat me right now. And I need to be able to do my job instead of spend. So there's so many things wrong because instead of just spending time with the dog, getting to know them, sitting down, having a conversation with me, they are just doing their job really quickly, maybe because they have to, and it's dangerous and it sucks for the dog. It sucks for the vet tech. So let me finish the story. So all three of them get on the dog and he is just, I can just see it in his eyes. He is like, party on, Garth. He is ready to party. Like immediately I'm talking like, you know, crazy stuff, right? He starts bucking and jumping and he's starting to get excited and he's starting to jump up and get in their face. And he's like, this is now a wrestling match. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you mess with this bull, you are going to get the horns. He is going to meet you where you're at, which is, hi, how are you? Are you ready? He's just like, hell yeah, let's go. You know, it's like that morning person where you're like, dude, it's 6 a.m. Like, chill out, you know? Like, chill out, bro. So I just find that so fascinating. So here's what I did is I saw them struggle and to the point where they couldn't do their job. Like the veterinarian couldn't get the skin scraped. So I was like, okay. So I just said, hey, can I help you? And they were like, sure. You know, what do you suggest? And I literally had my No Bad Dog treat pouch on, squeaked it. I said, sit. He sat. I food lured him with food. He ate the food. And I said, okay, now you can get your scrape. She went down. He looked back a couple times. She got the scrape and it was done. You know, and so I'm like, why wouldn't you have asked the owner for assistance? Why wouldn't you ask the owner if he's going to be okay with this? And I get it. It's like, well, what if he's not okay with this? It's like, okay, maybe would you rather be bit in the face or would you rather get the skin scraped? Like, because I'd much rather choose safety over that, right? Because I can always muzzle him and, you know, we've sedated dogs before. So that's what I did is I put him into a sit. And then I did a contact food lure. I just held food here and he was just eating it out, eating the food and just going crazy on the food. And they did their thing, you know, and they were probably like, I don't know. They probably didn't care that I made it easier for him. Frankly, they were probably relieved, but they may have not even like noticed how easy that was maybe to ask the owner, hey, would you like to help? There are some veterinarians that I go to and they do know me and that does help because they do know that I do this profession as a professional and it's my dog and they do trust me, right? And so again, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not 100% sure that in the vet space, it's got to be a liability for the owner to help the doctor, because that would be, I don't know, maybe that would be the equivalent to like me going in for a checkup and then me doing all my own like blood pressure and heart rate and all that. I don't know. I don't know what the protocols are for that. But it really was sad to see how much these guys struggled with something that was so easy to do. Oh, easy for you, Tom, because you're a professional. No, not really. All I did is tell him to sit because he knows it. They didn't know that he knows sit. And I gave him food. And that was it, right? And so it's just really shocking to me to see how much stress goes into something so easy, frankly. And so important. The dog has to go to the vet, right? Dogs have to go to veterinarians, like they just do. And even if you had a doctor or a veterinarian coming to your home, it's the same stuff. They get the dog so fired up and then they say, okay, now calm down. Cause now you gotta be still cause I gotta do this and I gotta do that. And I think there's just such a better way to do it. I was talking to somebody about it. Like, you should, you know, oh, you know what I did is I saw a sign in the post office that said like a contained dog is a safe dog with like a mailman running away from a dog. And I'm like, I have been hit up by Amazon before many, like 5 or 6 years ago about helping them create a course for their carriers, which is brilliant. Like so many people don't know anything what to do if a dog attacks you or comes after you, and reading body language and how to keep your extremities safe and, you know, all that stuff. And so I just was just thinking like the veterinarian space needs so much education on behavior because they don't do any, the majority of colleges for veterinary medicine do not do any behavioral stuff, nothing. So you got to think, here's somebody who just went to school for 6 to 8 years, sometimes longer, depending on their specialization. They learned nothing about behavior, nothing. How to read body language, how to stop a dog attack, how to calm a dog down, how to not get a dog excited, all that stuff. Now, maybe they know it because they're dog people, but some of the worst handling and worst situations I've ever seen are the veterinarians who put dogs in these situations. And it's sad too, to see, you know, because I think just with a little bit of education for these smart, obviously they're smart people, they're willing to put an education into their curriculum, into their brain, you know, and it's not their fault, of course. I'm not blaming veterinarians by any means. Again, I have a ton of respect for them and have friends and family that are veterinarians and I work with them on a regular basis, right? I'm just saying, I just feel bad that they don't have more education on safety protocols and just making things, the quality of life for the dog in that moment, right? Like that's why so many dogs hate to go to the vet. I mean, I get so many emails within our company. The dog hates it because it sucks for him, right? You're not going to be able to reverse engineer and counter condition a crappy situation for a dog that historically, every time they go to this place, this happens. I mean, it's like classical conditioning. The chips ruffle, they get sweet potato chips, right? They go to the vet, they get stuck with something and they're stressed out the whole time. So that was wild to see these three professionals try to ride this bull in this little closet without asking for help, without asking if the dog was going to be okay with this, without asking if the dog has a bite history, without asking anything. They just did it. And that shocked me. And that's why I've created my whole brand, No Bad Dogs. Because like if he were aggressive or they stuck his finger up his butt or something and he turned and like, you know, I don't know, corrected him, not attacked him, but bit him. Like it would be his fault on paper. But the reality is like, yo, you guys like backed this freaking tiger into a corner here. Like this was awful. So I just, you know, I'd love your feedback. You know, this channel and of course the podcast is always an open discussion on what the heck is going on and my thoughts outside of the tutorials that I've been doing. But just I'm a dog lover / professional that loves to talk about dogs. So I'd love to strike up the conversation in the comments, see what you guys think. The last video we posted on this channel, you know, I think like 300 people were in the community talking about it. And that was awesome. If you're still here on the video, we are going to be in England and New Zealand and Australia this fall. And I'm doing a seminar at my facility as well. All the information is in the listed link below. All the merchandise is listed as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching this, I appreciate it. And I can't wait to hear your experiences at the veterinarian and what you think of all of this.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.